Okay, folks, we're going to start. Today's shiur is sponsored by Jake and Karen Abelevitz. As part of the annual series, the year-long series, and it is sponsored Ilui Nishmas, Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba, and Leah Bas Avraham. Okay.
Rabbi, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much. I would like to look today at something related to the Parsha and also something related to the upcoming holiday that we have. No, not Shavuos, although it's relevant to Shavuos as well, but to Yom Yerushalayim. So I'm going to take a look at two things and maybe we'll connect them, maybe not, but we'll take each one in its own, on its own. First thing I would like to take a look at is something related to Yom Yerushalayim. Yom Yerushalayim, of course, commemorates and honors and celebrates the fact that in June of 1967, Chaf Ches Iyar, during the Six-Day War, the Israeli army and government conquered, liberated Yerushalayim from Jordanian hands and restored Jewish sovereignty over Yerushalayim, over Har HaBayit, and leaving the politics out of it for a moment, just on its own, it was certainly a miraculous and historic moment in the history of our people. For 2,000 years, we either had minimal access, limited access, or no access to Har HaBayis, and now to the Western Wall, to the Kotel, and now it was under Jewish sovereignty. And that alone is something which is extraordinary. And of course, this is in the context of the Six-Day War, in which Rabim Biad Ma'atim, the many fell at the hands of the few, Rasham Biad Tzadikim, Zaydim Biad Oskei Sarasacha. I don't know if every one of those descriptions is entirely accurate, but for sure one could say Rabim Biad Ma'atim. Now, I want to look at one particular aspect of Yerushalayim and focus on that for today, for the opening of today's shiur. And that is, what is the meaning of the name Yerushalayim? And where did it come from? Where exactly does this name Yerushalayim come from? It doesn't actually appear in the Chumash. But we do have some midrashic information to explain the source for the name Yerushalayim, and that's what I want to take a look at. So before we even look at the source material, I'd like to ask you what you know. I think there's some sort of information out there that people are aware of. How did Yerushalayim get its name? Okay. So the name Yerushalayim, where does it come from? I'd like you to take a look here at two sources based on a Medrash. The Medrash says the following. Make it a little bigger for you so you can read along. Okay. The Medrash says the following. Avraham called the city of Yerushalayim. He named it Yir'eh. Okay, everybody see where I'm reading over here? Yir'eh. Shene Emar, says the Pasuk. It's based on the Pasuk. Vayikra Avraham Shema Makom Hashem Yir'eh. Avraham called the name of this place Hashem Yir'eh. Now, so there you have it. The Medrash says it's a clear Pasuk. Avraham called it Yir'eh. That's it. Nothing else to say. Except for the Medrash itself continues. Shem Kara Oso Shalem. Shem, as in Shem, Cham, and Yafis, the children of Noah, he also named the city. And he named the city something entirely different. He called it Shalem. So Avram calls it Yireh. Shem calls it Shalem. Now, Shene Emar, Umalkit Tzedek, Melech Shalem. As the Pasuk says, Malkit Tzedek is the king of Shalem. So what does Malki Tzedek, being the king of Shalem, have anything to do with shame calling it Shalem? And the answer to that is that according to Chazal, They're the same person. According to Chazal, Shem and Malki Tzedek are the same individual. Okay. So here you have Avram calling the city Yireh, and Malki Tzedek / Shem referring to the city as Shalem. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in a quandary. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to himself, Im Korani Osa Yireh, if I assume the name of the city to be Yireh, like Avraham named it, then Shem Adam Tzadik Shem Shkaros Avraham, so Shem Adam Tzadik Misraim, so Shem, who is a great Tzadik, I'm going to get him upset, and I don't want to get him upset. V'im Korean, and it'll be an insult. V'im korei ani oso shalem, and if I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take the name Shalem, which Shem named the town, then Avraham Adam Tzadik Misraim. Then Avraham could be insulted, and Avraham could be upset. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in a quandary. What do I do? Ella, rather, Hareini korei oso Yerushalayim. So therefore, in order to synthesize both names and give honor to both people, Korei Osa Yerushalayim, Hashem determined that he would name the city Yerushalayim. Kimo Shekaru Shneim, as both, referencing both of their names. Yerushalayim is Yir-eh, Yir-u. Shalem is, Shalayim. So that's Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a merger of the two names, the name that Avraham offered and the name that Malki Tzedek, Melech Shalem, offered. And there you have it. Case closed. But what is the purpose of this medrash? I mean, were Chazal, city planners? Were they interested in the archives for posterity, people should know, that we went to a board meeting and there was a debate at the board meeting and some people were this and some people were that and this person. Yeah. I mean, okay, so this is a board meeting. This is a board meeting of one, Hashem. Okay. The question is, what is the, obviously the Medrash isn't here just to share with us the minutes of Hashem's internal board meeting. But there is but there must be a spiritual message, and the question is, what is that? Okay, Esther, what would you like to share?
I would like to share that Hashem doesn't need the feelings of people, but it is for us that we need it. We need to care about what other people say and speak to us, and we have to have feelings for what they are saying.
Okay, so on one level, what Esther is saying, and I think that there is merit, that this medrash tells us about the importance of being sensitive to others, to their feelings, to their needs, and I would add to that the idea of compromise, right? In other words, when you are encountering another person and you have your views and I have my views, so we ideally we should find a way to, to get along and to live together. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as it were, has a constituency of Avraham. He has a constituency of Shem, and he and Hashem demonstrates for us the midah of sensitivity and the midah of compromise and how to sort of and it is a value of getting along. And if that is the case, then the very term Yerushalayim indicates these midos of sensitivity, of kindness, of compassion, of compromise, of getting along. Which means that the essence of Yerushalayim is that it is meant to be a place that demonstrates these midos. It's not just a name. A name is reflective of the essence of the individual, if we're talking about a person, and of the place. So when the Medrash says that Hashem calls it Yerushalayim, in deference to these two competing needs, this is not a board meeting, minutes of a board meeting. It's saying this is what Yerushalayim, this is the banner that Yerushalayim is supposed to mean for us. And of course, Chazal are saying this in a period of time when Yerushalayim means anything but that. Because Chazal are writing and are speaking and writing in a time of Churban HaBayis. They are in the aftermath of the Churban. And not Churban Bayis Rishon. They are speaking in the aftermath of Churban Bayis Sheni. And Churban Bayis Sheni, of course, is brought about most prominently by Sinas China, by an inability of people to compromise, by an inability of people to be sensitive to one another. And so therefore, when Chazal say that this is the name of Yerushalayim, this is a mussar on so many levels. Not just, you know, for the idea of what Yerushalayim is supposed to stand for, but it's really, in my opinion, a little bit of a shtuch about what Yerushalayim is currently standing for, which is the exact opposite of these midos. Okay. So that's sort of one idea. Anybody else have another idea?
I think it might mean yachad, get together, to be together as one.
Okay. All right. Certainly the idea of Achdus, which I think is sort of part of what we're saying, that there's this unity. Hashem is demonstrating a unified approach rather than, you know, rather than one side, the other side, different groups. They're finding a way to bring people together. Okay, good.
Rabbi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. The Yira and the Shalem. The Yira, that you can't have Shalem without Yirat Hashem, and you can't have Yirat Hashem without the Shalem. And the two of them are not entities upon themselves, but has to be contingent one upon the other. And once you have this working together, the fusion, then you can have truly Yerushalayim in the way that it was meant to be.
Okay, beautiful, very nice. Okay, yeah, go ahead, Barbara.
I just wanted to discuss the word shalem and the word shalom, because all of the things that you just said before are proponents of peace.
Right, right. When a person, peace is actually, is shlemos, when there is, you know, when there is unity, and amongst people, within communities, that is what brings it. Peace is a reflection of that. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Absence of conflict is quiet. But the peace means, you know, being at one. A person being at one with themselves, at one with others, a community together. Okay. I want to look at where these... let's look at it from the following perspective. Avram calls it Yira, and Malki Tzedek calls it Shalem. So let's look at each one, the context in which we learn that, in which we know that. So if you take a look at the first, there are two boxes underneath here. We're going to look at the second box first. Vayishlach Avram es Yado. What is the context in which Avraham names the city Yerushalayim? Takedas Yitzchak. So let's look at the psukim. Vayishlach Avraham es Yado, Vayikach es Hamacheles Lishchot es Bino. Avraham takes the knife to slaughter his son. Vayikrai lav Malach Hashem in Hashemayim, and Malach Hashem calls out from the heavens. Vayomer Avraham Avraham, and he declares Avraham's name. Vayomer Hineini, and Avraham responds. Vayomer Atishlach Yadcha Lanar. Malach, on behalf of Hashem, says, don't touch the lad. Be'altas lo ma'uma, and don't harm him. Ki ata yadati ki arei Elohim ata, v'lo chasachta es binchas yechidcha mimeni. Because now I know that you are a Yirei Elohim. Yirei Elohim means what? Somebody who has, what?
God-fearing.
Yeah, so I don't like the term fear. Because fear, I think, indicates... scared. And, and I think that a better term would be awe or reverence. Yira is like awe or reverence. Yes, there is, when a person has reverence for another person or God or whatever, then there is there is some anxiety there. There is a person's anxious, and there is a little bit of fear, right? But we're not talking about fear in the, you know, I'm afraid that I'm going to be beat up by Hashem. This is fear in the sense of awe and reverence, the awesomeness of the encounter. And you did not withhold your son, your only son, from me. Avraham lifts up his eyes and he sees there is a ram, nechaz basvach bekarnav, that his horns are bound up in the thicket. Vayelach Avraham vayikach es ha'ayil. Avraham goes, he takes the ram, vayaleu la'olah tachas b'no, and he replaces it instead of his son. Vayikra Avraham shem ha'makom ha'hu, and Avraham calls the name of this place Hashem Yireh. Asher ye'amer hayom bahar Hashem ye'ra'eh. Okay. So, Avram calls the place Yireh. Why? Why does Avram call the place Yireh?
Because Hashem appeared there.
Okay, this is about Hashem appearing. Okay.
The sacredness of the place.
Yireh, how does that mean sacred? Because it means just because Hashem is there.
It was Har HaBayis.
I understand. But from the word Yireh, how does Yireh reflect sacredness?
It was like a holy encounter.
So I think what you're getting at, Elise, is that Hashem's presence... When we say that God appears, that means somehow God's presence is palpable, right? There's no physical appearance here. So when Hashem's presence is palpable, there is an added level of kedusha, of holiness. So God's presence. So Yireh reflects that Hashem's presence. It reflects kedusha. It's a sacred, sanctified place because of Hashem's presence. Okay. What else does Avram calling it Yireh reflect?
Rabbi, I think it means Hashem Yireh.
One second. One at a time. Judy, go ahead.
We might have been saying the same thing I was about to say. Hashem was seen with the Yireh. So Hashem Yireh also means God is watching.
Okay, so divine providence. Hashgachas Hashem. God is watching, not watching from a distance, but God is watching and intervening, right? So Hashem sees, even we could say Hashem appears, even though you're right, it is Yireh. But in other words, God is present, God is intervening, and his intervention saved the life of Yitzchak. Okay?
Can I add one more thing to that?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
It's not only God is intervening, because what Hashem saw in this circumstance was not only a behavior, but what was in his heart.
Okay, excellent, Judy. So it's not just about telling us something about Hashem and his presence and his doing, but it is what did Hashem see? Hashem Yireh. What is it that Hashem saw? So Judy, what is it that Hashem saw?
What Avram's intentions were, what his feelings were, not just what he was about to do.
Okay, so Hashem, if I could expand on that a little bit, Hashem saw that Avraham was an ish emunah, a man of faith. Hashem saw. What else did he see in Avraham?
That he put Hashem with his own son.
Right. Okay. So that he had an absolute and total loyalty to Hashem. So he sees that Hashem that Avram is a man of faith. He sees that Avraham has absolute fidelity to Hashem. What else does he see in Avraham?
A pattern of adherence.
I'm sorry. One at a time. Go ahead.
A pattern of adherence.
Okay. Good. That's like loyalty. Good. What else? Somebody else was going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say something because Yireh It's a different tense than Yireh. So Yireh means Hashem has appeared, like it's appeared. In other words, Abraham, I think, was hoping that Hashem will appear in this place and keep it a Makom Kedusha all the time, not only just now, for the future, because that's what the Avos have done for us, is it marked whatever that happens to them will happen to us.
Okay, good. So pause right there. What else did Hashem see in Avraham? He saw he was a man of faith. He saw that he had loyalty. What else did he see in Avraham? What was necessary for Avraham in order for him to follow through or to attempt to follow through with killing his own son? What character, what quality, what midah was necessary that Hashem is now witnessing in Avraham?
Bitachon.
Okay, faith, what else? We said faith, we said loyalty, what else?
I think completion. That's what he saw in
there. Okay, he saw Shlemus. Okay. What else? There's one thing that I have in my head, and that is, unless anybody else has anything else.
Someone said commitment.
I said bitachon.
Okay, bitachon is also part of faith, right? So bitachon, emuna. So I would say commitment.
Unwavering.
And what?
Unwavering.
So commitment and self-sacrifice, really. Right? So Mesiras Nefesh, yes, he was obviously being Moser somebody else's Nefesh, but he was also being Moser Nefesh himself. He was giving up his son. So Hashem sees the following things in Avram. He sees that Avram is an Ish Emunah and Bitachon, a man of faith and trust in Hashem. Whatever this means, as difficult as this is for me to do, and as much as I don't really understand it, I am willing to put my faith and trust in Hashem. He sees this is extraordinary commitment, and sacrifice. So when Avram calls us Hashem Yireh, the word Yireh is pregnant with so much meaning. It's about a little bit about Hashem, that Hashem is there, Hashem sees, Hashem watches, and Hashem intervenes. Hashkacha pratis, divine providence. It is also about Avraham. What did Hashem see in Avraham? Hashem sees commitment, Hashem sees sacrifice, Hashem sees amuna, Hashem sees bitachon. So all of this is what is bound up in the word Yireh, that when Avram is naming it. There's one final element here that, at least in my view, is one more thing which is missing. We said this shows Hashem's presence, Hashem's providence, the Kedushas HaMakom. There's one other element that Hashem demonstrates here.
For the future. Yireh is a future tense.
That's what I think.
Okay. Hashem demonstrates chesed, kindness and compassion. Because at the end of the day, he tells Avram to stay his hand. So Avram has to show this compassion to Yitzchak, and Hashem is showing compassion to Avram by telling him to stay his hand and not killing his own son. So yes, it's Hashem who put them into this situation to begin with. That's the trial. That's the nisayon. But what Hashem demonstrates here, in addition to everything we said, is chesed. And he is calling upon Avraham to demonstrate chesed and rachamim to Yitzchak. So all of this is bound up in the name Yireh. And that's what Avraham names Yerushalayim. Okay. I want you to scroll up over here. And now we're going to take a look at the second place, the second name that is given to Yerushalayim. And that's Malki Tzedek / Shem. So what's the context? We don't actually see Malki Tzedek naming the town Shalem, but we do have a pasuk in the Torah in which Shalem is mentioned in the context of Malki Tzedek. So let's take a look at the psukim. It's right there in the box in front of you. Vayetze Melech Sodom l'krosso acharei shuvo me'akosas kedar la'omer. And Melech Sodom, let's go back a sentence here. Does everybody remember the story of the four kings and the five kings?
Yeah.
So the story of the four kings and the five kings, Barbara, just give us a three-sentence recap.
Abraham wanted to save Lot.
Right.
From Sodom. And then a war ensued between the neighborhood kings, four, against the five.
Right.
And the four won.
And the four won against, actually the five won against the four. The four were so powerful that it's a big deal that five were able to, you know, with the help of Avraham, were able to overpower the four. Okay.
And wasn't Kedarla Omer Shem's grandson?
Okay, so we're going to get there in a second. So the pasuk says, "Vayetze Melech Sodom l'krosso," the king of Sodom goes out to greet Avraham. Acharei Shuvo, after Avraham came back. Mehakos es kedar laomer v'es hamlachim asher ito. After Avram returned from killing the, from vanquishing the four kings, including kedar laomer. Aleimek shaveh hu emek hamelech. So, umalki tzedek melech shalem, malki tzedek, the king of shalem, hotzi lechem v'yayin. He comes and he brings Avraham some food and drink. V'hu chohen le'el elyon. Malki Tzedek comes out, he greets him, and he blesses him, and he says, Baruch Avram l'keel elyon kone shamayim ba'aretz, Baruch keel elyon asher migin tzarech biyadecha, blessed is Avram, blessed is Hashem, v'yitin lo ma'aser mikol, and he gives a tithe, a tenth. Now, before we move any further, it's just interesting that it is based on this, the Medrash says, based on this series of psukim here, that Shem lost his status as a Kohen and was handed over to Avraham. Why? What did Shem do that was so? What did Malki Tzedek do that was so bad here? When he came out to greet Avram, first he blessed Avram, and only then did he bless Hashem.
Oh, not Hashem, right?
And he should have blessed. Hashem first. And it is from here that we learn that when you make a l'chaim, you're supposed to say the bracha first, and then say l'chaim. You're not supposed to say l'chaim and then make the bracha. Because then you're doing what Shem did. If you say, you know, L'chaim, you should live and be well. Baruch at Hashem, bari priyagofen. So then you're giving a bracha to the human being before you give a bracha to Hashem. Right? So it's based on this that many have the practice of not making sure that you say L'chaim. You know, you make the bracha. And then you drink and say l'chaim, rather than saying l'chaim first. Others suggest that no, there's no problem of saying l'chaim because really you are Malki Tzedek really by blessing Avram, he's actually Baruch Avram l'keel elyon. You know, he's blessing Avram in Hashem's name. So it's not dissing Hashem. It is not ignoring Hashem. It's actually. But nevertheless, it's just an interesting side point over here. Okay, so let's go back here. So good, Malki Tzedek comes out and he greets Shem and he greets Avram and he gives him food and drink and he gives him a bracha and he gives him all well and good. What is this pasuk Vayetze Melech Sodom Acharei Shuvo Me'akot Kedar LaOmer doing there? It is a totally irrelevant pasuk, seemingly. Melech Sodom goes to greet him, and then Malki Tzedek comes out with wine and this and that. What's Melech Sodom?
Well, Avraham saved Sodom.
Why is this relevant? Avraham also had cornflakes for breakfast that morning, but the Torah doesn't mention that. Why is this relevant? Fine, so Melech Shalom came. So what? What did he do? What's like, why is this at all relevant?
Because he tried to bribe Abraham.
Is this the aspect of Shalem that now that the war is over, there's a kind of Shalem that's prevailing?
Perhaps. Shalom. But again, what is Melech Shalom coming out have to do with anything?
What was the pasuk before that, Rabbi? Do you know?
Yeah. If you look, second. Okay. Let's try this again. Okay. If you look in.
Where do I look?
Lech Lecha.
Okay.
All the way at the end of the parsha. Okay. Well, actually, not at the end of the parsha. Sorry, where is it?
Hi, Sarah.
No, one second. No. Here, Perek Yud Dalet, in the middle of Lech Lecha. Let's start with Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayichu is called Rechush Stom V'Amor V'Eskol Achlam V'Yelechu. Vayichu is Lot V'Esrechusho Ben Achiv Avram V'Yelechu V'Hu Yoshev B'Stom. Vayavo HaPalit V'Yegid Li Avram. And so the refugee goes to tell Avraham that Lot was taken captive. Pasuk 16. Vayashev is called Rechush v'gamis lot achiv Rechusho eshiv v'gamis anashim es ha'am. So they went, they conquered, they returned Lot and all the wealth. Vayetze melech Sodom l'krosso. Now Pasuk 17. Where is it? Pasuk 17. The king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from defeating Kedar Laomer and the kings that were with him. But Malki Tzedek brought out bread and wine, and he was a priest of the King Most High. So why is it necessary for us to know about Sodom?
Yeah, good question.
Maybe because Abraham did that specifically only to save Lot.
But why do we want to know that Sodom came out after Kedar LaOmer was killed? And that is the introduction that we have to Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem.
I think he wanted to show Hakaras HaTov.
Who wanted to show Hakaras HaTov?
Melech Sodom.
Okay, so we're going to learn from this, from Sodom, the idea of Hakaras HaTov. Okay, fair enough. Why is it important to say Vayetze Melech Sodom acharei shuvo me'akosas Kedar LaOmer, after he killed Kedar LaOmer?
Oh, maybe it didn't have so much to do with Melech Sodom as it did with Malki Tzedek and his relationship with Kedar LaOmer.
Okay, so now we're on to something. There's a relationship between Malki Tzedek and Kedar LaOmer, as Barbara pointed out, that Malki Tzedek was the great grandfather of Kedar LaOmer, because Malki Tzedek is Shem, and Shem, his great grandson, is Kedar LaOmer. So now let's read this pasuk. Vayetze Melech Sodom l'krosso acharei shuvo me'akosas Kedar LaOmer. So Melech Sodom comes after vanquishing and killing Kedar LaOmer, and that's. Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem comes and he greets Avraham with food and drink and he gives him a bracha. This is not a small matter. This is a huge, huge deal that Malki Tzedek is bringing Avraham food and drinking, giving him a bracha. Because after all, wasn't Avram on the team that just killed Shem's grandson, Kedar LaOmer?
Yep.
Now you could imagine Malki Tzedek saying to himself, he's upset, he's angry, what is Avram doing? Killing my own grandson? I mean, Avram is also a descendant, but doesn't make it any better. Malki Tzedek had every reason to be angry and resentful and feel hatred towards Avram Avinu. And what does the Pasuk tell us? After they come back from killing Kedar LaOmer, Malki Tzedek, I would say, you read between the lines, Malki Tzedek had to conquer every fiber in his being and put on a smile, walk out to Avram Avinu, and say, Baruch Avram L'Kel Elyon. Blessed is Avraham. That's a huge, huge deal. And assuming he was being genuine and authentic about it.
So that's why Hashem wanted to include the word Shalem.
So this is Shalem. This is Shalem. What does Shalem reflect? So Shem, Malki Tzedek, he's the one who gives it the name Shalem. So what does the name Shalem reflect? The one time that we have it mentioned regarding Malki Tzedek in the Torah over here, what does Shalem reflect about Malki Tzedek?
Humbleness.
It reflects humility. What else?
Being mevater and shalom and doing anything right to achieve peace.
Being able to give up on one's honor and to find some measure of compromise. What else? And to be unified in peace. What else? What other midos, what other traits did Malki Tzedek need to have in order for him to be able to walk out and greet Avraham and not punch him in the nose?
Humility.
Right. Okay, Rachmanus, humility.
Batronot, I think. He had to be Mevater.
Mevater, right.
And accepting. Sorry.
He had to have faith in Hashem, Emunah and Bitachon, that whatever is happening, I might not understand it, but I have belief in Hashem, that somehow there's meaning behind this, and I don't know what it is. I'm not going to try to explain it, but I have emunah and belief in Hashem. And after all, Avraham is the one who was appointed by Hashem. So if Malki Tzedek believes in Hashem, and Malki Tzedek is now going to honor that belief by giving a bracha to Avram Avinu. So when he gives that bracha to Avram Avinu, it's an absolute declaration of emunah and bitachon. It's gvura that he has to overcome and really show tremendous commitment. It's a sense of a little bit of mesiras nefesh. It's a statement of kindness and compassion, of chesed. These are all the things that are bound up in the name Shalem of Malki Tzedek. So when Hashem in the Medrash says, I have two things to name this place, Yireh and Shalem. If I name it Yireh, then maybe I'll be dissing Avram Avinu. If I name it Shalem, if I name it Yireh, I'll be dissing Shem Malki Tzedek. And if I name it Shalem, then I will be opening up Avram for being insulted and to properly complain. So therefore, I'm going to name it Yireh Shalem, both together. You know why? Hareini Kora Oso Yerushalayim Kimo Shekaru Shenehem. I'm going to call it Yerushalayim as the two of them called it. What does it mean as the two of them called it? They didn't both call it Yerushalayim. They didn't. But you know what they both called it? They both called it a place of emunah. They both called it a place of bitachon. They both called it a place of mesiras nefesh. They both called it a place of chesed, of rachamim, of achdus. They both called it a place of hashkachas Hashem, of divine providence. And that, it's true. I could get that all from Avraham, and I could get that all or part or mostly from Malki Tzedek. But Hashem says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take both of them, coming from different perspectives and different contexts. But there's a common denominator here. of emuna, bitachon, mesiras nefesh, of chesed, of gvura, being able to overcome one's impulses and natural instincts in order to conduct themselves in the most refined way possible. That is a name worthy Yerushalayim. So when the Medrash tells us that this place is called Yerushalayim, this is not just the internal deliberations of Hashem's board meeting, a board meeting of one. What the Medrash is telling us is that with the name Yerushalayim is projecting important midos that are necessary for success as an Eved Hashem. Malki Tzedek was Kohen L'Kehel Elyon. And Avraham, well, Avraham, of course, was a great Eved Hashem. So as we think about, you know, Yom Yerushalayim, the day that Yerushalayim came back to the Jewish people, and what Yerushalayim means, Yerushalayim isn't just a historical place, which it is, with all of its, you know, glory and all of its grandeur and all of its bumps and warts over the course of millennia, but it also represents something, and that something is the idea and the what's the word I'm looking for here? It is the goal that we should be that we should be trying to attain. It's what we should be aspiring towards. That's what the word Yerushalayim is. It represents our aspirations. And if we are able to succeed in reaching some measure of success, of emunah, of bitachon, of chesed, of being mevater, giving up on our ego, and trying to find common ground, and overcoming our impulses of anger and resentment, and trying to find goodness in the other, if we're able to do that, then the Yerushalayim that the Chazal are telling us sits in a state of destruction, Hashem will bring back, and through Geula, and restore Bnei Israel to its rightful place in Eretz Israel, in Yerushalayim, with the Beis HaMikdash at its center. So I don't think that this Medrash is just telling us the history of the name. The Medrash is telling us what our aspirations need to be in order to bring about Geula. All right, I want to share with you one other very brief idea, and may be connected to Yerushalayim as well. And this comes from the Parsha. I'm going to share my screen with you. Okay. If you look at our Parsha, Perchav Vav, Bichukosai. So,
what Parsha?
Perchav Vav, start from the beginning.
Oh.
So, just going to read these psukim, and again, I'm going to do this very briefly, folks. Bichukosai. This parsha of Bichukosai has great brachas, a promise of great brachas, also a promise of the opposite. Says the pasuk, "In Bichukosai teleichu, if you will follow my decrees, ves mitzvosai tishmaru, and you will observe my commandments." Then all types of wonderful things happen. So I'm going to list each one of these wonderful things, and I'm going to pause after each one, and you tell me if this is sensible, that this is indeed a bracha. V'nasati gishmeichem bi'itam. I will give rain in its proper times. Is that a bracha? Yes. V'nasnaha aretz yivula. The land will give forth its produce, its grain. Is that a bracha?
Yes.
The etz hasadeh yitein pirio, and the fruits of the tree, and the tree will produce its fruit. A bracha?
Yes.
V'yisig lachem da'yishes batzir v'atzir yasig ezara v'achaltem lachmechem lasova v'yishavtem lavetach be'artzechem. Your threshing will last until the vintage, and the vintage will last until the sowing. In other words, there's going to be so much produce that when you're going to be doing the threshing is going to take you all the way to the next season, when you're going to have to be pressing the grapes. In other words, there's going to be great abundance. A bracha?
Yes.
V'achaltem lachmechem lasova, you will eat to contentment. A bracha?
Wait, reading now. Yes.
right? V'yishavtem lavetach mi'artzchem, you will dwell securely in your land. The bracha?
A you?
What?
A you bracha.
A huge bracha. Pasuk 6. V'nasati shalom ba'aretzu shechavtem yeh macharid. You will dwell in peace in your land and you will not have any fear. A bracha?
Huge.
Yeah. And all wild animals that can cause harm will be subdued and removed, and there will be no sword that goes across your land. A bracha?
Yep.
Okay. Uridaftem esayvechem v'naflu lefneichem lacharet. And you will chase after your enemies and they will fall by the sword. Is that a bracha?
Yep.
Yes.
V'radfu mikem chamisha me'am mikem revavos yirdofu v'naflu ayvechem lefneichem lacharet. And 5 people will chase 100 and 100 will chase a multitude, 10,000. In other words, your army will be so powerful it will be able to overcome in the vast numbers that any numbers that come against it. A bracha?
Yep.
Yes.
Ufanisa lechem yifresiyaschem yirbeisiyaschem hakimosiyas brisiyaschem, and you will grow and you will be fruitful and you will multiply and I will fulfill my covenant with you. A bracha?
Yep.
V'yachaltem yashan nosham v'yashan v'bnei chadash totziu. You will eat very old grain and remove the old to make way for the new. In other words, there will be great plenty. Certainly a bracha. Okay, one last pasuk. V'nasati mishkani b'sochachem, that my presence will dwell amongst you. Is that a bracha?
Yep.
V'lo sigal nafshi eschem, and you will not disgust me. A bracha?
Yes.
So, I think it is clear here that if there is one thing that... Let me ask you this. If, let's say you have a significant other, and your significant other brings you flowers and says, "Here, my beloved, you do not disgust me. I hope you enjoy the flowers." So Hashem is basically saying, Jews say, "I love you with food." So Hashem says, "I love you with food," because there's going to be a lot of food. And there's also going to be peace and prosperity. This is Hashem's way of saying, "I love you, I love you, I love you." So what does it mean? And you will not disgust me. Right? I will not find you absolutely and totally repulsive. That's the bracha.
Rabbi, in the Chumash, though, in my Chumash, it says, "My soul will not purge itself of you."
Right.
And that means very different.
Okay, v'lo tig'al nafshi etchem. So, what Chumash are you using?
The Saperstein edition.
That's an art scroll, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so art scroll is using Rashi as its guidepost over here. So let's take a look at Rashi, because the word Ga'al, what does the word Ga'al mean?
Ga'al.
That's with an Aleph. This is with an Ayin. And the answer is that the word Ga'al...
Abhorrent.
What?
Abhorrent.
Abhorrent, okay.
The modern people, they say,
Magi'il, right? Magi'il means disgusting in modern Hebrew.
Right.
So if you look in the concordance and you find the times that Ga'al is used in the Torah, it is used 5 times in the Torah. So if you want to understand what a word means, so look at the other times that it's used. The only problem is that the other times that it is used is all in this perek. Pasuk 11, which we just saw. Pasuk 15, we'll see in a moment. Pasuk 43 and Pasuk 44 and Pasuk 30. That's the only time you find the term Ga'al. And it is all in the context. It is all in the context of, B'nai Israel either Hashem saying that he will not Ga'al the people, or right. Hashem is saying that he will ga'al the people. So I told you I was going to do this briefly, so I am going to do this briefly. So what you should do is take a look at the five or six psukim in this parak and see if you can sort of figure out a theme of what ga'al means. But I'm going to sort of skip that piece of it right now, and I just want to take a look at Rashi. So I'm going to share my screen with you.
Rabbi, could you give us the psukim again so we could look it up in
15, yeah. 30, 43, and 44.
It's wait, I'm ready. Did Aleph, Ted, Vav?
30, 43, and 44.
Did you say 30, 33?
30, 4, 3, and 4, 4. Okay. Now, okay. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Lo sigal nafshi, ein ruchi katsa bahem." Means I will not, my spirit, I will not be fed up with you. I will not loathe you. I will not find you repulsive and disgusting. All right, that's what the phrase, that's what the idiom means. What is the word, what do the words mean? Says Rashi, Kol ge'ila lashon pleitat davar habalua bedavar. Ga'al means the casting or spewing forth something that had originally been absorbed, right? So in the context of kosher kelim, we have a principle that, let's say, you cook milk in a pot. So even after you remove the milk from the pot, the dairy, the milk was bolea, absorbed into the pot. And then if you cook meat in that very same pot shortly afterwards, the ta'am chalav, as it were, the taste of the dairy in the walls of the pot, are polate. They exude. They come out. Right? They were absorbed, and now that taste goes forward. And so, if you cook meat in a dairy pot, you get non-kosher food, basar b'chalav. So the term ga'al ge'ila, says Rashi, means plita, something that had been absorbed and now is being, you know, ejected. So Hashem says, I love you so much, v'lo sig'al nafshi, I will not totally vomit you out. I will not spit you out. That's how much I love you. And Rashi brings a couple of examples here from a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that indicates that the term nig'al means exactly what we just said, it means. Okay. So how is this a bracha? How is this a bracha? If you follow my ways, if you listen to my mitzvos, and if you follow the laws of the Torah, then there'll be plenty of food, and there'll be rain, and there'll be peace, and there'll be, vanquishing of the enemies, and there'll be all these wonderful things. And the cherry on top of the cake, or the icing, or whatever it goes, the cherry on top is that I will not find you repulsive and eject you. I will not spit you out. How is that a bracha?
I think it's a foreshadowing. And it's also like you have to flip it and say, well, the opposite, you know? If you listen to me, then I will love you. So it is a bracha in reverse.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Susan, go ahead.
I think it's a bracha because Hashem is never going to desert the Jewish people.
Right.
Okay.
Hashem has brought them out into Golos, and that's a big bracha.
Okay, well, let's test
Hashem
that.
Hashem knows that let's we test are going to mess up, but his love for us is so unconditional that he's willing to like you said, with Malki Tzedek, he's willing to overcome maybe feelings of wanting to regurgitate us, but not regurgitate us because of the brit that we have with him.
All right, so let's test that theory out. Everybody is sure that Hashem is not going to throw us out.
I'm not sure. He's not completely. not completely.
Where I go.
Pasuk 30. Vishmarati es bamosechem. If you don't listen to me, if you don't follow, and you yourself, spit me out, as it were, or my Torah, vishmarati es bamosechem. I will destroy your cult places, your unauthorized or pagan altars. Vichrati es chamanechem, and I will cut down your incense stands. Again, either they're unauthorized or they're to pagan gods. Vinasati es pigrechem al pigregu lilechem, and I will heap your carcasses upon your lifeless desires, meaning the pagan idols. Vigaala nafshi eschem. And Pasuk 30. Vigaala nafshi eschem. And I will spit you out.
Rabbi, could I sit?
Hold on, I want to sit on that. I want to sit on that for a second. So everybody said, or not everybody, but those who were suggesting that this is a great bracha. When Hashem says, "And I will not spit you out," it's because it's a bracha that whatever you do, I won't spit you out. Turns out it's not exactly. Turns out it's not exactly true. Vishmarati is bamosechem. If you don't listen to me, and you spit my Torah out, v'gala nafshi eschem, I will spit you out. Take a look at Pasuk.
Out of the land.
V'gala nafshi eschem. It means I will spit you out from my soul. It means I will reject you. Right? Pasuk 43. Wait. Pasuk 43. The Aretz Teazev may have the Teretz Shab Sosa Bashma Eschem, and the land shall forsake them, making up for the Sabbath years by being desolate of them, while they atone for their iniquity, for the abundant reason that they rejected my rules and spurned my laws. So they're going to be kicked out of the land for doing this. Pasuk 44. The Afgam Zos Biosam Beretzoy Vehem. Yet even with this, when they are in the land of their enemies, lo ma'astim v'lo ge'altim l'chalosam. I will not despise them, and I will not ge'altim. I will not, again, spit them out. L'chalosam. I will not do it completely. Lahafer brisi, to the extent that my covenant will be destroyed. Ki ani Hashem Elokechem. So that's what he says. He says, I will not spurn them, I will not, v'lo ga'alti l'chalosam, lahafer brisi itam. I will not spit, I will spit them out, but not to the extent that it's in, that there is a, that it is entirely so, and the covenant will be broken. So what's the bracha? The bracha is that im b'chukosai telecho, if you do my mitzvos, v'lo sig'al nafshi eschem, means in order for something to be spit out, first it has to be absorbed. Every time we do a mitzvah, we are like being absorbed into the nefesh of Hashem, as it were. We are becoming one with Hashem. We are becoming part of the DNA of Hashem, whatever that means. The Zohar famously teaches that every person has a neshama, and if Hashem can be compared to a huge mountain, then the neshama is like a pebble hewn from that rock and put into our bodies. And so the neshama is like a little piece of Hashem. So what does it mean when we do a mitzvah? It means that we are anchoring ourselves. It's not just that Hashem likes what we're doing, and Hashem is going to reward us. I, Hashem, am here, and you are there, and I, Hashem, am smiling upon you. No. When we do mitzvahs, it's like we are binding ourselves to the Shekhinah herself. We are becoming at one with Hashem. And therefore, that that velo ge'al velo sigal nafshi eschem, I will never be able to really fully, you know, spit you out, because I can't get rid of my own DNA.
That's like,
right? And so that is the bracha. The bracha is when you do mitzvahs, you become part of me, Hashem, and that can never be undone. Maybe it can be undone a little bit. Maybe it can be undone a lot, depending on what you, B'nai Yisrael, do. But what you, B'nai Yisrael, have to do in order to cause me to even go down this path at all, Pasuk 43 says, you, B'nai Yisrael, have to be Goel the Torah. You spit out the Torah, then maybe I go down this path. But there's a lot of averos that a person can do short of spitting out the Torah, right? A person can say Lashon Hara even a lot. A person can do Sin a lot. A person can violate Shabbos a lot. But that's different than spurning Hashem. That means that, okay, I failed. I'm an imperfect human being. But being an imperfect human being is not worthy of being spit out by Hashem. Being an imperfect human being, it means that to the extent that I've done mitzvahs, those mitzvahs make me part and parcel of Hashem himself or herself. And therefore, when I sin, when I err, when I make a mistake, when I fail to meet to live up to my own standards of what Hashem wants for me, instead of feeling all is lost, remember that right now, even in my state of Avera, I am inside, as it were, the womb of Hashem. I have been absorbed into Hashem. I am part of Hashem. And so therefore, the distance from Avera to Tshuva is just sort of a mind shift, you know, a shift of perspective. Because if I'm already there in the throne of the King, if I'm already in on God's lap, if I'm already part of His DNA, it's a much shorter trip of tshuva. That's the bracha v'lo sigal nafshi. And what does it mean to be lo sigal nafshi? That cannot be. It means that you're unified. You're part of me. So if there's a connection here to Yerushalayim, right? Hashem says, what is Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is where we are at one. We're at one with each other, and also to be at one with Hashem. So although these are two really, you know, different ideas that I wanted to share with you, they're somewhat connected. Yerushalayim and the bracha of lo sigal nafshi. And Mirtz Hashem, we should have these brachas in spades.
Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, two things. Number one, when you were describing this, I immediately thought of Malagera, which is, kashrus is a chok.